Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew. It is me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today, we are chatting with my sister. I feel like this is going to be such a fun episode. I honestly have not recorded yet. I'm like pre-recording this intro, but I have high hopes for it because I just know when Ellie and I get together, we cackle a lot. Like, we are just laughing nonstop. And in this episode, I kind of want to talk about all of like these stories that I may have mentioned them a couple times in the past, or just stories I've never talked about before. I don't want to name drop people because I don't want to get in trouble like with my friends, but I feel like there's going to be some juicy stories to come. So I'm excited for today's episode with Ellie. And she obviously was a D1 runner at Wake Forest and then was a professional triathlete and professional runner for Atlanta Track Club. So I feel like we're going to have so much to talk about just in the running world and our experiences. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. I'm recording December 1st. First of all, I can't believe it's already December. That is wild to me. Where did this year go? But also, it's the day that Spotify Wrapped dropped. And I got so many tags of all of my favorite fellas that their favorite podcast was Convos Over Cold Brew this year, which means so much to me. Like, I do this podcast every single week. And it's just hard because if you're watching this on video right now, also we post on YouTube again. I'm trying to get back into that. I don't know. I feel like I don't really get that much outside interaction with people that listen to my content or watch my content or just like follow me on different platforms. So when Spotify Wrapped comes around, especially just because the podcast is so, I don't know, I feel more out of touch with the listeners because you can't like get comments from it and it's not visual. Like, it's just only audio. So when I see that so many people like just are listening to it for just hours throughout the year, it really means so much to me. I just love the day that Spotify Wrapped drops because I think it really helps me keep in touch with my followers and know that people are, that like actual people are on the other side listening, if that makes sense. Anyway, that was kind of a rant, but I just appreciate anyone that has listened to like the last couple seasons of Convos Over Cold Brew. And I'm excited for 2022 because I feel like there's going to be so many good guests and so many good topics to talk about. I also feel like I'm just doing a lot better mentally. Like, and I'm really spending time to prioritize myself. So I'm so excited for my content in the future because it's hard to make content when you're not feeling the best about yourself. And then now that I've spent time, you know, going to therapy and working on it, I feel like I'm just starting to, you know, be motivated again and kind of think about what I want to do in 2022. And I feel like there's just so much opportunity and I'm excited to chase after it. So that was like a really big random tangent. But anyway, let's just get into today's episode with Ellie. I hope you enjoy it. I'm gonna eat dinner while you're doing this.
Of course, I'm gonna chomp, chomp, chomp my meat as you talk.
There's gonna be chewing sounds in the back. Ellie, do you hear the news?
I'm so thirsty. What?
Did you hear the news?
No.
Cooper to your sign with Nike.
Stop. What? I don't know who that is.
You don't know who that is?
No, you always talk about these runners people, and I don't know who they are.
You don't know who Cooper Tier is.
I know the name. I'll say that.
The Oregon runner guy.
Go Ducks.
So Ellie's really in tune with running news, as you can see. I knew you wouldn't know, so that's why I said
I know. I knew it was going to be something about running, and I wasn't going to know it. So I fell into the trap anyways for this podcast, but I knew what you were doing.
It was
I could see in your little face.
Well, that I was going to make a joke, of course.
Yes. You always do that to me.
Okay, well, for this episode, I don't really know where it's going to go. Honestly, I have a bunch of different things written out.
Oh, it's just going to be a big spiral episode. It just goes in a bunch of different directions.
Yeah. Well, I guess to start off, do you want to just tell people who you are first?
Do they want to know who I am? I hope. Need
some context.
Well, I'm Emma's sister, and I ran in college like Emma, and then I ran after college. And now I don't run, really. Except I have been running more casually recently, and I feel really good. Like, mentally. I'm doing it for my mental health now. It's actually crazy.
Okay, where'd you run? Can you explain a little bit about where you ran?
I guess I could elaborate a little more, yeah. So I ran at Wake Forest University. Go Deeks. In Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And, well, then I entered a triathlon program after college. So I did that. That was in San Diego. And I quit that. And then I ran for the Atlanta Track Club. And I did longer distance. So I was definitely on the longer side, whereas Emma was not. So that's where our differences lie.
So now you moved to Boulder and you're going to join Team Annalene or what?
Yeah, so I'm going to be training with, do you know who Sam Parsons is?
Andrew Under's mom.
Yeah, so I'm going to be training with them. I actually have a workout with them tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a brick workout, so I'm pretty excited about that. It's my first one back after like 4 years, so that'll be...
Stop. That'll be like the way that some people probably would believe you, because no one can tell sarcasm via audio. Ellie's not...
It'll be a little shock to the system.
10 Women Elite. We're starting the group.
10 Women Elite. Remember when we joked about that, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
They should make a woman team.
I know. I thought they were kind of, but I guess...
Are they not doing that?
I don't know. That's why I thought you were going there to start it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's... Oops. What?
Okay, well, in today's episode, I want to talk about, running memories. I don't know. I was just, looking through photos this past weekend. I've gotten really nostalgic, and I'm going through the stages of grief now that I'm old. Ellie and I are old.
We're not 26? Even old, but it feels like time is just... posting, and I never thought aging was going to happen to me, so it's getting a little personal, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
really took it up.
I'm kind of mourning the memories I had of my running career, in high school and college even, and I just kind of wanted to recollect on some good memories.
And you go to your tombstone and just pray and mourn over your loss of running.
What?
Are you just how often are you mourning it?
Okay, I don't actually. I'm just kind of going through the stage of the grief because I'm really realizing. I'm man, I don't think I cherished it enough when I was younger. Or I was just thinking about all the good memories that we had growing up with running. And I kind of just wanted to elaborate on them and maybe elaborate on some inside jokes. And I kind of want to hear your thoughts or any fun stories that you have, if you have any. I know you probably did not prepare one single one.
Not one bit.
So
but
I have a ton right now
out of my brain, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean,
I've been pretty manic today, so you caught me at a good time.
Yeah, me too. So much better. Ellie and I have also rescheduled this podcast probably 5 times.
Oh, we? Excuse me, we have rescheduled the podcast? Attention, attention, everyone. Emma likes to bail on only one person in life, and that's her sister. Probably to Sarah, too.
Yeah, I did bail a couple times. I just wasn't in the podcast
family thing.
Well, and this podcast is going to be a lot of me talking, so I had to be in the correct mood to do it.
Mood.
The correct mood. And
mood.
And you're going to be spilling some hot tea, so you have to be, in the funny, joking mood. Also, I'm not going to be naming names in this because I don't want to, I don't know. I don't want to throw people under the bus. So I might just make fake names for people. Sure. Anyways, so.
So much tea.
We can start all the way back with good old Roadrunners, Ellie.
Ellie's prime Roadrunners circa 2007. Let's start there.
Do you have any memories from
all I remember from Roadrunners is honestly crying and Getting beat by Emma? I don't even think we were in the same group in Roadrunners.
I mean, we were every other year.
Oh, like the actual race. But like workouts, I don't really remember like doing them with you. All I remember is grass repeats and I wanted to cry because those were so hard.
We did so, it was hard. Our training was hard.
Really hard. Like those were some of the most excruciating workouts. That hill workout, what was that place called?
Oh, the duck pond?
The duck pond.
With the straight
There weren't ducks there.
Well, there were. We just fed them bread after practice, but... yeah, Roadrunners was an interesting time, but it was like really brutal, honestly. I think we were really good, which was probably why we trained so hard, but some of those workouts were like literally brutal.
Why were we training that hard?
I don't know. I think we were just good. So it was like,
was everyone, I guess we had a good group going.
Yeah, we had a good
group. I just want to know what other like youth groups were like.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to compare this to. So like,
yeah, I don't have anything.
Everyone was doing it at 8 years old?
No, well, because we were winning nationals, so I don't think other people were really training as hard. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But all I know is that, yeah, it was really hard, and I feel like I had fun doing it. But I didn't really know what was going on, I don't think. I think I was just kind of, like, going with it. I was like, I'm good at running. I want to win this race. And then we'd, like, travel to random places with our team, and it was an experience.
We were, like, traveling often. We were getting on a plane often. In our little black and yellow tracksuits. Bumblebee vibes.
Gosh, I'm like trying to think. I feel like I have to have some memories from it, but I don't have any specific ones.
I remember a memory about someone else climbing a tree.
Oh, because they were so
stressed. Really dramatic. Like, I think I was really dramatic when I had like a bad race. And I just remember there was like a lot of drama because we were all so young that like people's emotions were just like all over the place. It was like someone was up in a tree after the race, bawling their eyes out. Another person was like, getting ridiculed by their parents for not doing well. Someone else was like elated and like holding a trophy. Like it was all so scattered.
It was also in your face because like you said, I don't think kids know really how to handle their emotions. Yeah. And I mean, that's what changed. I feel like once you got into college, I mean, you could tell when people had a bad race or people had a good race kind of, but it wasn't, I mean, there were some people that would go off and cry in a corner.
There's always someone that would go off. There's always a crier, dude. I mean, I don't know if I really cried actually in college.
No, I never cried.
I don't think I ever cried in college because I was just like, whatever, I'm already in college. So
yeah,
that's where I needed to be.
It was a little, I feel like people held their emotions together maybe a little more, but it was also a really stressful environment. So maybe, yeah, I don't know.
I think it manifested in other ways. Like, I don't think the emotion was like to climb a tree. I think it was more like, let's just be upset and like go off by ourselves and do the cool down alone.
Okay. Well, now, I mean, that was a very brief youth running stint because I honestly, it was so long ago, I don't remember any of it. And
that was 20 years ago for me. No,
no, you were not 6 or 7.
Oh my god, that was 20 years ago.
It was not 20 years ago. No,
I'm gonna lose it. 20 years ago,
stop saying 20 years ago.
Okay, well, I was looking at a photo of me and Shanoa. This was yesterday on Facebook talking about photos and like going back in time.
Oh, yeah,
that was
our high school 2011. Teammate.
That's a decade ago. And I was like, that looks like I remember that day. We were in a hotel room like after the Stanford invite.
Yeah, you guys look the same.
I know. And I was like, someone responded to this where I was like, where are you? And I was like, stop. That's me when I was 17.
Where are you? A photo from 10 years ago.
I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess because we were wearing glasses, you couldn't really tell, but I was like,
yeah.
Also, I feel like we looked a lot worse back then almost. Like I was looking at photos and I was like, aren't you supposed to look like good when you were younger? But I'm looking back and I'm like, I think we get better looking.
It's puberty time. It's like, I feel like you always look back and.
Well, we didn't hit puberty either, or you didn't hit puberty until you were like 23.
Well, that's true. But that was my second wave of puberty. I had like 5 of them.
Stop. I had a cycle of puberty. It wasn't just a one time.
Yeah, it wasn't a one-off. I feel okay. I have learned that though in my old age of 25 now. But I feel like everyone kind of goes through second puberty. Like you hit 25 and your body's just so different than it was like the first puberty round.
It's actually kind of a good point, Emma.
Yeah. Thank you, Ellie.
No problem, Emma.
Okay. Anyway, so high school. What do you have any like good memories of high school? I feel like I have so many.
I mean, I have so many memories from high school. That's what I really remember. I don't remember, like, middle school is kind of a blur.
No, yeah, middle school I don't really remember. I kind of grouped that in with the youth running because it's all just kind of, I don't remember at all.
Were we weren't on the Roadrunners in middle school, I don't think. So yeah, high school is like where everything, that's where like the majority of my running memories are. Because in college, I was kind of blackout, kind of just like really stressed out. Things got a little blurred. I feel like in high school, I was like really owned into running because I was trying so hard to get into college.
Yeah.
For running. So it was like the center of my life and all my friends were runners. Like, I feel like we had a really good group going.
We had such a fun high school team. I will say it was so fun. And I feel like we made so many memories. Okay. One of the ones I have written down is, this was like, Ellie and I do this thing where sometimes we're on FaceTime for hours. We go through our old Facebook chats because that is like where all the drama kind of went down in the Facebook chat in our age, or like AIM or AOL Messenger or whatever it was, like,
yes.
Or like Uvu, like random.
Uvu. I know. Facebook was, that's where I was hanging out.
Yeah. So Ellie and I sometimes go through like old messages, and we've recently uncovered a lot of like good things from that. Like, I just love to go back and look at who I was talking to back in 2010 or 2011. And we had this giant group chat in high school of all of these runners, like from around the country at different schools. Some of us didn't even know each other. And we would talk in it frequently at every single night for
months. Every night for hours.
But I don't even remember really what we would talk about. Like, it was, and we would go on FaceTime. I don't know how people would get added to the chat. Like, random people just get added from other people. But yeah, I feel like that was really random, but it was pretty fun too.
I know. And I was like thinking the other day, how did I have time to do that? Like, in high school, I didn't really double in high school, but like sometimes we'd have to run like 2 miles in the morning or something. So I'd be waking up at 6, running, going to class until 3:30, doing a workout for like 2 or 3 hours, taking an ice bath. Sometimes going to a swim practice. Like, how was I doing all this and then chatting on Facebook for hours while doing homework?
Okay, that's the thing, is I feel like high school, your energy levels are different.
Like, that is what I've noticed the most since being old, in quotes. Like, I don't have that energy anymore. I was getting 5 hours of sleep a night and I was doing all that working out and homework and class.
I genuinely don't get it. I'm like trying to think of what, I don't even think I really felt that tired.
I was thriving and I had a social life.
Yeah, me too. I had a thriving social life in high school. And I just remember like in the winter, I would be training full time for like track season. And then I would go to water polo practice.
That's what I'm saying. After like track practice. And I was going to swim practice after track practice and then doing homework up until 1 a.m. That makes no sense looking back. Now I'm like, I think I did a lot when I like did one email or like one one little tiny assignment.
Okay, well, maybe that's why we look back on high school and we're like, we have so many memories because we did so much.
Yeah, we did so much in one day. I mean, every day was like an event. Like, I ended that day and I was like, that was a day.
That was a day. There was never a day where it wasn't busy.
No. I think every day for 4 years I was busy in high school.
Okay, I want to talk about, like, do we have drama on our high school team? I feel like people ask me that all the time.
So we had a squad of about 4 or 5. There was you and Kelly, who would usually finish before me and Chenoa. So there was a little divide between me and Chenoa and Emma and Kelly. And me and Chenoa like to call Emma and Kelly the kinship because they had like a little buddy system because they were always like racing together, high-fiving during the race. And it was just like this whole little thing. But it wasn't really like dramatic. It was more just like a joke. Like,
I think, yeah, I mean, you guys would just like, say it all the time, but what were we supposed to do, you know?
Also, it was stupid because like, yeah, you guys would be first and second, but then we would be like third and fourth. So it was like stupid. It wasn't even actually like we were really competing as anyone else except our team most of the time.
Yeah, I don't really remember there being that much drama in high school. Like, I feel like we all got along fairly well and we were all really good, which is kind of crazy how we didn't have more problems. I think we're all pretty like normal and I don't know.
We were really normal. I mean, we were not like, we ran all the time, but we weren't even really focusing on running. Like, we were having fun.
Yeah. And that was honestly,
like, we're social.
I would go to these, I was like so social and I would go to these big running meets. And especially something like Brooks PR, I would just show up and be like, everyone is just like has such a different attitude about running than me. And
like, that's they were already in college.
What?
It's like they were already in college or something.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everyone just trained kind of individually, like especially at those meets. I don't know. I feel like that's where sense. I just like noticed the biggest difference in mentality because then I would come back home to our team and it would be so chill. Like I mean, it would just be like, we would all be goofing around at practice, and we would take 2 hours to do our 6 mile runs, and our coach
would roast each other on our runs, like have all these conversations.
Oh yeah. Wait, so what would we do on our runs that would take us 2 hours? Because I was talking to our coach, Coach Vice, the other day, who just retired, and I was like, remember when our runs would take like 2 hours? He's like, yeah, what were you guys doing on those runs? And I honestly couldn't tell him, like, what did we do? Walk?
We walked a lot.
Yeah, we walked a lot. We stopped and took breaks a lot.
We ate a lot of like clementines.
Yeah, but that wouldn't take 2 hours.
I know. What were we, would we like go into like the bathroom of like store? Like, I don't remember, because we had a lot of like stores around our high school. Like,
yeah, but we didn't do that every time. Like, that was
a I don't think every run took that long. I think like after a mile, we would do a lot of stretching. Like, we would stop after a mile. And do a
lot of work.
We would take our mile, like our stretch break, which would be like 15 minutes.
Yeah. We would run like literally 0.5 up this hill through this gate. And then we would just stop for literally 15 to 20 minutes.
I remember that exact spot.
I know, me too. I can picture it in my head. Yeah. And we would just stop and chat for 20 minutes. And then we would just continue along our run. I guess, okay, that definitely made up a lot of the extra time.
Yeah.
It's just like the stopping and kind of goofing around.
Well, everyone always had their thing that they had to do. It was like someone had to do their hips like stretches. Someone had to like stretch their calves. Someone would get like a hip pain during the run and have to like stretch it. And so we'd always like have to adapt to the situation, like people's issues. That's the thing.
Do you remember any of like our hardest workouts?
I think the one for me that always sticks out is, I mean, a lot of them were excruciating, I will say, but that one that was like a mile all out on the track and then hill repeats. Oh. And then you come back and do another mile all out and then hill repeats. And then another one, I think there were 3 miles like all out.
You think?
Or maybe it was only two. It might've been two. I think it was one all out and then a bunch of hills and then one up. Yeah, that makes more sense. That was really hard for me.
Ew, I remember that.
I think I had I would always say PR at the end of these. And I'm like, what? And then I would
race. Ellie, you were a workout warrior.
I know. I never got together in high school. Like, I got together at like when I needed to like get into college, but like that was like once or twice, and that still wasn't that amazing.
I mean, it wasn't bad. One of the workouts that I just remember there being like some 800 workout. Like, I feel like we did it so many 1Ks and 800s.
Those are always, dude. Even I was thinking about this the other day. Like 1Ks in cross country on the grass. Those were always the worst for me. Like, I was thinking back to some hard workouts on my easy run the other day. And I was like, I honestly don't know how we got through that stuff.
I remember when I was being recruited to Vanderbilt and the coach was like, oh, what's your least favorite workout? And I was like, oh, 1Ks for sure. And she gave me a look that I was like, I think that was an incorrect answer. Then I realized that every single week in college, no matter where you go, you will be doing a tempo run, mile repeats, or 1K.
Dude, I just have the chills. Like, I have, like, trauma.
It's just, like, I feel like it's just so common. But I remember one time in high school doing, like, 800s or something at 240, probably.
It was always, like, 240. It was always. We were going to get down to, like, 232, and we'd be, like,
ooh, 232. You think we got that low? I don't think we ever did.
I think we did. I think, or at least, like, 236-ish.
I feel like we got 235, and I was, like,
wow. I think you'd be, like, go all out on the last one, and everyone would, like, or, like, go 235 or under, and then everyone would be racing to the finish to go, and then we go like 232 or like whatever.
I just remember one time, I don't remember what year it was, it might have been my sophomore year, but I just remember I was doing the freaking 800 workout and I was like coming around with like 150 meters to go, and the only thing I could think is like, do you want to make it to Nike Elite Camp or no?
It's so dramatic.
Well, it's just like I needed something to get me through the workout because I was not going to make it through.
Like, I mean, do that today. I'm like, do you want to be a loser or do you not want to be a winner?
I know, just the Nike Elite Camp thing. And I never ended up making it to Nike Elite Camp. So, but I feel like I just had so many things. Like, there were just some really hard workouts that I needed to just push through.
I mean, that one spring break workout.
Yeah, we've already talked about that one, though.
I don't know. Does anyone, have you talked about like going numb on the podcast? Or, like anything?
Oh,
like,
no, we haven't talked about going numb.
Going numb. That was like,
so do you want to define what going numb?
Not particularly, but basically it means that you kind of go numb in like the downstairs area. Like, you just feel really what's the right word? Like, other than numb, how can you describe it?
I don't know. You just kind of like, maybe this is why people pee their pants.
Yeah, almost like you want to pee your pants, but
it's like, I feel like you just kind of like lose control, or just like a weird feeling in your.
It's like, that's actually good. It's like not quite like, it's not like you're peeing your pants though. Yeah. It's like the moment before that. It's like,
yeah,
it's just, I mean, you're, it's like the lactic acid or something. And it's just, it's everywhere.
Yeah. It's like once the lactic acid stops or like it's flown through your legs, then it starts going into your.
Yeah.
It starts going into your core.
It like starts with your feet and then it goes up.
Yeah. I think that's how lactic acid travels through your body from your feet up to.
I have no idea. I don't know anything about these terms, but.
No, but that's literally what it would feel like. And then I feel like it was every time I ran the mile, that last 100 meters, you would just go completely numb.
That hurts.
And I don't really remember it happening in college. Like,
I was just going to say that. I don't remember. This was like a high school thing. Was it because our like, we hadn't hit puberty? Like, I don't understand why we're feeling like that.
I know. Can anyone relate? I wish people could reply to YouTube. I guess our podcast conversations, but I guess people can because it's going to be on YouTube. But can anyone relate to like going numb? Like, does that make sense to anyone else other than our high school?
Any high schooler still listening now, does going numb make any sense to you? Or is that only circa 2011?
Yeah.
Everyone just stopped going numb after that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Honestly, I don't know, but I remember that feeling all the time.
Yeah. And then Kelly and I, and probably you two, would always talk about the trauma. Like we would say we felt trauma.
This makes running sound so miserable. Like, why would anyone ever want to do this? Trauma.
Okay. Well, it's not actually like trauma. That's just what we called it when you would start a run and it would just be like this big, like you just felt like there was so much like heavy weight on you. Like your legs couldn't move. And it was like, it was kind of like your legs felt like bricks for like the first like 2 minutes, and it was just like this wave that came over you, and then you like felt fine
before every moonlight run, or like when we would start those moonlight
when
runs.
You would start the moonlight runs,
any easy run we would always have trauma.
Yeah, it would be trauma for like 2 minutes and then it would go away. But it, I don't know, again, I don't know if anyone can relate to this or if this was just
another thing that went away for me in college. Didn't really have that, and now I never have that. So I don't know what that was, but was it because we were like just maybe our bodies weren't as used to the workouts. Like we weren't like.
I don't think our body was recovering very well, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think that's what high schoolers do differently now. I mean, you see everyone's a lot better than we used to be. Like my times aren't even really that good anymore compared to other high schoolers.
Yeah, you're right.
People train like college people now. They don't train like we did back in high school. I feel like everyone just knows more. So then now you see like people. Like Newbury Park, which is like, you probably have no idea, but they're everyone, like all these high school programs are just training like college athletes and they're just getting really good. So
I mean, there was like, what, was a couple teams were training like college people and we were running. I remember those teams and we were like, well, they're doing like however many miles a week and we're doing like
40? I would do 40 max.
I mean, yeah, I thought that was high. I mean,
that was high. That was a decent amount.
Yeah.
I couldn't go higher than that.
I mean, I was like 45. Whoa, in the summer? I'm going to throw up.
Okay. Well, we were also obsessed with a group of guys too. We were very boy obsessed and we walked around like we were the hottest.
We walked around with like beady energy. Like we were just like walking around like we were the best people on planet Earth. Anytime we were like top dollar, like supermodels.
Well, people didn't help. I feel like people kind of exacerbated it. Like, especially, so we were in love with these guys they went to this school called Cathedral Catholic in San Diego. And it's like this preppy, like boys school. Like,
yeah, it was a private school.
Private school, all guys, or no, not all guys, but they had like a very good looking guys team. And they knew that we were obsessed with them. That's the thing.
We made it very known. So embarrassing. Wow.
Yeah. And they honestly didn't really want anything to do with us, but we did hang out with them a decent amount. But yeah. I mean, outside of that, like we would go to NXN too. And we would just eat it up. Like everyone would be like, oh my goodness, that's the team, the Costa Canyon, like full of blonde haired girls from California.
We all had white hair.
We all had white hair. And I guess just, I mean, this is people's first experience with like, California people, I guess. I don't know.
I think it honestly was.
It was. Like, you could tell from, oh, this is just embarrassing. Like, you could just tell from some of the guys' interactions. And I'm like just, oh, it was those, some of those
it hurts.
Interactions at NXN with some of the guys' teams, the with photos? Our teams.
Remember the photo competition? We were so obsessed with winning that photo competition.
We're like, we have to be the hottest team at NXN. And I remember
the hottest team. We have to take the hottest photo. Like, What? For what? To impress these runner dweebs?
Okay, I'm cutting that out.
But, like, who are we trying to impress? I didn't even know who was going to be there.
I know. I mean, we kind of had an idea the next year after we went.
I mean, we definitely wanted to be the hottest.
And we tried. I just remember, okay, hard. I remember Sam Parsons literally mentioned us in some podcast episode with someone else. He was like, oh yeah, like Emma Abrahamson's team, La Costa. It was like, he literally said, he was like, that was like my first experience with like California, like beautiful running girls. And I was like, see, I feel like we're not crazy. I mean, people hyped us up in high school.
Yeah, I mean, that was our prime apparently. So
yeah, but then I was looking through my photos and I have a tweet saved from Sam. 2011 or whatever year that we all went back then, and it says
2011.
I have photos going way back, and it said La Costa girls not the look. So I guess he wasn't into us, or maybe he didn't like our vibe. And it upset me. Well, I genuinely was upset.
Because now he said that it was the vibe on the podcast, and his tweet said otherwise.
Yeah, well, maybe he was just having a little crisis. I think he was more into like the Redondo girls or something.
Oh. Well, maybe it's because of that conversation that our teammate had with him.
Okay.
Brace.
Yeah, do you want to elaborate about it? We might have talked about it during our episode with Shanoa, but do you want to talk about it?
Basically, Shanoa was... What was she even saying? She was like, they've never kissed anyone.
Yeah, she like was talking to Sam at some dinner at NXN.
Shanoa, and
she
was like,
what?
I'm like, Shanoa, you've done. You have like, no, what? But she'd always, yeah, we'd always just send Shanoa to do all the conversing.
Yeah, Shanoa was like really confident. So we're like, okay, you go talk. And Ed, for some reason to Sam, she like told Sam that none of us had ever kissed a guy ever.
We're like, we're freshmen in high school.
Just so
you're
funny.
A sophomore, like- Shanoa.
Okay, or like the NXN dance. Can we talk about that?
My first experience with grinding. I was like, I like got back from the like to the room and I was like, I grinded with the guy for like 45 minutes.
You walk in and everyone is like in these Nike Pro spandex and like tank tops, and everyone's just like in a circle, and then people are just like grinding.
And I'm just so cringe. Look,
it was so, like, oh my gosh. It's just so funny to look back on, because it was literally like my first experience with grinding. Like I was like,
what? You were a supervisor at that dance and you're watching these like 16-year-olds getting it on the dance floor, I'd be a little disturbed. Like, I thought I was so old at the time. I was like, I'm so mature. I'm going to a dance. I'm going to grind. So cringe.
See, you know, it's like, it's so funny because I feel like we had so many memories from the freaking NXN dance. Like all I remember is just us being like, I would like look around and you see like the team that won.
Yeah, Fayetteville Manlius. I'm like, whoa, they were like so like stiff before the race.
Fayetteville Manlius was the like top school in the nation. I don't know anything about high school rankings anymore, but back then they won NXN like 5 years in a row, and they were so intimidating. Like on the start line, I was like,
so intimidating.
They were from New York, and you were like, oh no, you don't mess with Fayetteville Manlius. And then we went to the NXN dance after they like won. They were the wildest people
like
on the
twerking. I'm like, whoa.
They were like twerking, like the wildest people on the dance floor.
Unleashed. Like they had never been off the leash before. They were just going wild. And I was like, I've never seen so many runners in one place dancing. It was just, it was a lot to take in. And I was contributing to it.
Okay. And then like you would just have guys come dance with you. And they were, I just remember like the second place guy and like the third place guy at NXN like came and danced with people on our team.
I danced with the fourth place. I was 122nd, so leveling up.
But then it was just like, and then it kind of carried over into Foot Locker, which was in San Diego.
Oh, the Foot Locker dance we went to when we didn't even do Foot Locker.
So our high school team, the girls on the team, crashed the Foot Locker.
The tea
dance.
Is being spilled.
The tea is being spilled. See, we haven't ever told these stories.
Have we never told that before?
No, we've never told these stories. Like, we crashed the Foot Locker dance. None of us made it. The only person that made it from our team was one of the guys on our team, and he was dating one of the girls on our team, and he told us to come to the dance. So we drive all the way to their hotel and, like, walk into this room Just imagine, like, the Foot Locker is like really small too. There's only like 60 kids that run at Foot Locker. The dance was like so small, and then you just have a group of five girls that no one knows who they are except for some of the guys. And then we were just like walking around the hotel. And
I can't. What were we even doing? We were like so sneaky. I was like, I remember feeling a little like on edge. I was like,
I was definitely on edge there. Like, that was weird. I was kind of embarrassed. Well, the dance was like not popping. So then we left.
No,
and we were just kind of walking around the hotel. And we were like, I remember I took a picture with Footsom Zenosolossi's jacket.
I grinded with him.
Stop.
I remember. I was like, this is Footsom.
Stop.
Shout out.
Stop. And then we just like hung out with some of the guys or whatever. And then the thing about these meets is that people would be set up with like guys would be interested in girls, and it was just like it's very weird vibe.
Such a weird vibe.
It was just an interesting experience.
It's high schoolers being high schoolers.
It's so high schoolers being high schoolers.
Cringy romantic vibes.
It must be worse now because of social media. Like, I can't imagine going to some of these high level meets because people know each other now and you can talk beforehand.
Yeah.
We were not chatting with these random people from like, I don't know, these big meets beforehand. We didn't really know who they were because social media didn't exist yet, except for Facebook chats, which we still didn't know that many people. And then, so you like go to these meets and you like dance with someone at the dance, and then someone would like come tell you, like some guy that you know comes tell you like blah 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 is like interested in you, and then you go back to the team, you're like, this person says they're interested in me, and then I don't know, it's just like such a weird.
I mean, yeah, I guess it still kind of happens now in your 20s.
I mean, it does.
People don't really grow up.
I mean, that is true. It's just a different scenario.
You just want to pull off your dance. You're at the bar. So.
Yeah, that's. But it's like less exciting, though.
It is.
This is like young. Like, this is like young youth, just like starting to like guys type of vibe.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I also remember NXN doing our really bad cheer that we did on the starting line. That was really embarrassing.
I remember trying really hard to get into the video. They always had this big video at the end, and me and Shino wanted to do it. We did our separate cheer from you and like the rest of the team because we wanted to get in the end of the
stupid
year.
Highlight video.
The highlight video, we made it.
No,
this is, like, creepy, like doing some like extra like weird stuff before the start.
Well, we had a good cheer too. It was the strawberry shortcake one. Remember?
I can't believe you were doing cheers. I forgot about those. Did I do those in college?
We say. Ducks on three. One, two, three.
Oh, I just got nervous to like, think about how nervous I was doing this year's.
Same.
Cross country meets were the most nerve-wracking.
Do you remember the NXN cheer that we did? Strawberry shortcake, banana split. We think your team runs like shift to the left.
Left shift to the right. I forgot about that.
That, how embarrassing is that, though? Because then we just did horrible. But then we just did this really obnoxious cheer on the starting line for everyone to hear us.
We always blame it on the fact that we're from California, that we couldn't make it in the mud. Like, what do you mean? No, we just sucked that day. We're from California, we're on the outside. I mean, hey, I'm just saying, they had a better starting spot.
That's true. But that's probably because they won 6 years in a row.
I know, they guess they earned it. But come on, give the other team from California a chance.
It's okay. You know, at least not we made really it a couple years.
It. Not dwelling on it at 26, so.
I go to bed thinking about Fayetteville Manlius's starting
line position. I had a nightmare about Fayetteville Manlius. That's last night, actually.
Okay, I know that the tea is just getting started, but we have a brief little intermission here to talk about today's sponsor, which is Green Chef. You guys know I love Green Chef. I've been working with them for a while now, and that's because I truly love their meals. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company that makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or you're just looking to eat healthier like me, there's a range of recipes to suit literally any kind of diet or preference. So the thing I love most about Green Chef has to be the convenience factor. Everything is delivered straight to your door, which is absolutely incredible because I feel like this time of the year, it's the holidays. I feel like every single time I go into the grocery store, the lines are insane. And then also the grocery store is just packed. And I feel like there's not really that great of options available. Like the produce just doesn't seem to be on par because everything's gone because so many people are shopping for the holidays. But Green Chef makes it easy. Everything is pre-measured and pre-portioned and delivered straight to you. Also, the meals are phenomenal. I've been getting the plant-based box recently. I'm not strictly plant-based, but the plant-based box, like the recipes are so good that I get it every single time. The recipes are really easy to follow too, and they also take like 30 minutes to make, which is very manageable for my weekday, even though I'm a very busy woman these days, but we make it happen because the meals are just so easy and so good. So if you guys are interested in checking out Green Chef, highly, highly recommend. Just go to greenchef.com/coldbrew10 and use code coldbrew10 to get 10 free meals plus free shipping. That is greenchef.com/coldbrew10 and use code coldbrew10 to get 10 free meals, including free shipping. Now let's get back into the episode and spill some more tea. Well, now we can kind of, I feel like we've just talked about so many random things. I'm hoping this isn't like too niche for people.
Who knows? Depends on the demographic. Are these people in high school or college now?
I think it's both, but I feel like people are interested. I mean, I am, but maybe it's because it's my life.
I mean, I love talking about this stuff because it's literally what happened to me, so.
But I feel like it is interesting. Like, just high school, it was just so wild. Like, just talking to so many random people, meeting so many random people, going to these, like, cool running meets that it was, like, you get so much free gear. You talk to these, like, super fast guys. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I had major speed goggles. Like, that was the thing.
This is the thing with Emma. Here's some tea. You've always had that. You've always had like speed goggles for runner guy. Like I've never really had that other than the one like cathedral exception, which I don't like to dwell on because it's a little embarrassing. Other than that, I think that scarred me from that point on after that rejection. I was like, I'm never gonna like a runner guy ever again.
Okay. I had this thing in high school, especially. And I think it's still kind of carried over to my like professional life, but it's not the same. It's not defined by running anymore, but I had this thing in high school where the guy that I liked had to be the equivalent of me, like good at running or better. Like they couldn't be a worse.
It's such a small aspect of life. Like no one even runs. Like the amount of men who run in the world, it's like, I don't even want to know. 0.000001.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know why. It's an innate, I don't know. It's just like ingrained in me. I feel like you can't change. Like, can I change that? I don't know.
You're probably born with that.
I was born. I needed to have someone that equal success of running and better.
Are your kids gonna run?
I don't know. What does that have to do with my kids? I'm not even dating anyone.
You're saying you need to marry a runner so your kids are good at running.
I did not say I need to marry a runner. I said this doesn't. My dating standards aren't defined by running anymore. But I think that same aspect kind of carries over into like my like older life. Not with running though, just with like, I don't know, other things.
What, being active?
Not only being active or just like work life. Like I just want someone motivated, you know?
Yeah, someone who has goals. We don't want a couch potato.
Yeah.
That's the gist.
Also from high school, I had a really like
what?
I talked to this guy. I talked to this guy every single day. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You had a few and you would. This is another few grandma.
A few.
Emma would always, for every school dance, would find the most obscure, like, person who didn't go to our high school. That was, like, usually a runner. From, like,
I guess I had
2 hours away.
I had different taste.
That was just funny. I forgot about that. Like, those random guys you would find from a running team in, like, Orange County. Like, I always, when I was driving to Orange County last year, I would always see that, like, El Toro Road. And I was, like, El Toro guy.
Yes, I went to dance with two different people from random high schools that were runners, but the one I'm talking about, Ellie, is the one I would FaceTime for literally like 4 hours multiple times a week that lived in a different state and was a runner, and I only saw him twice a year.
Does his name rhyme with
stop? No, don't say the name.
I said it. Does his name rhyme with? No one knows what that means.
No one. I'm not
putting the guy's name.
I'm not putting this in. His name could be. Okay, so you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I do.
Maybe I'll just bleep it out. Bleep it out and I'll yeah, your mouth.
His name can rhyme with the. Yeah. Okay, now I get it. Well, I was like thinking about that other guy. Remember that one guy that was like, was that you trying to kiss that guy on the track?
On the track?
That one guy's name.
I was trying to kiss a guy on the track.
Yes. What was his name? Remember, it was like a whole thing after one of the track meets, and then it was like kiss, kiss, kiss. It was like Shanoa was really, but no, I don't know if it was Shanoa. I don't know if that was with Shanoa and some guy or you and some
no,
guy.
No, that was with Shanoa and
what's that guy's name?
Harrison.
Oh, that too. But there was another guy that was like Indian, that was a freshman or like younger.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I had a thing with my first heartbreak was freshman year of high school.
Heartbreak. The first time I got my heart broken was
honestly the first time I got my heart broken was by this guy that went to a different school. And we talked for a couple months. We were texting on my freaking Envy, my orange Envy. And we were pretty serious. Oh my God, and we went to one of my friend's dances that we was having at his house. And then he didn't dance with me and it broke my heart. And then he ghosted me. So and never said why. And that was my first heartbreak, and I've never forgotten about it.
Still think about that?
I still think about that. He's the one that got away.
Therapy for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. At least you're working through that.
Okay, anyway. So we can get into college now. It's literally already been 45 minutes.
Has it really?
Yeah, I'm like concerned. We haven't talked about anything, I feel like.
Oh my God. College? What do we want to talk about?
Well, I just feel like, did you have like some big memories that stick out? Because I can talk about some of mine and maybe you can
think about. Yeah, why don't you just start with yours and I'll like see if I can relate.
Okay. Well, we can kind of talk about inner team dating because I feel like that's always interesting for people. And I honestly don't recommend it because I think that it doesn't really work out that often. No. Sometimes it does. Like sometimes it's. You find the right person, but a lot of the time it doesn't. And I was actually in a love triangle my freshman year of college. And that was pretty rough. Kind of went through the ringer there with a guy. I'm not going to say actually it was a guy. No. Do I say it was a guy on my team? I can say it was a guy on my team.
Yeah, I feel like it was a guy on my team.
Yeah, it was a guy on my team. And we were in a love triangle. And it was dramatic, honestly. It was like pretty dramatic. And again, it was kind of traumatizing, but we eventually ended after like 6 months. So it wasn't that big of a deal, I guess. But that's why I don't really recommend inner team dating. We had a little bit of it on our team. It wasn't like crazy because I feel like we didn't really hang out with the Oregon guys that much, to be honest. But
really?
Yeah. But any of them
have like weekend hangouts or parties?
Well, we didn't really party at Oregon Alley. We only party.
Oh, right. Because you were trying to be good at running. Forgot.
Okay, well, this is the other thing I
kind of forgot about. You went to Oregon.
I did have a little party phase though. As I feel like
I hope everyone has a little party phase in college. Like have a little fun.
Yeah, everyone should have a little fun. And I did for like six months of freshman year. I had fun, a little too much fun. And then I kind of had to rein it in. And then I went out like 5 times a year and we would go out after like NCAAs and that was basically it.
I remember freshman year, like track season, I was calling mom and I was like, I don't understand why I'm not improving. Like I'm doing everything I can. Like I'm running so hard in practice. You know, I'm going out like 3 times a week, eating fried chicken steak, like some weird like food at the dining hall. Like I'm not doing anything. And like, right.
The little things are lacking.
Like... I was so confused. I genuinely thought I was like trying so hard. And then I got to my senior year and I was like, oh, this is more of what you need to do to
okay, feel so good. That's the thing though. Like when I did have my little like phase that I went through, not that I was going out all the time, but it was just, I mean, I didn't really party at all in high school or anything. So it was just more than ever before. Like I feel like a lot of people in college. And I was still like running well. That was the thing, is I was improving. So I was like, oh.
Yeah. It was like, I was still improving too, but it was just like very minimal, or I was like kind of tying my high school times. And I was just like, I feel like I'm trying, like I'm doing harder workouts than I was in high school.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just so like, that's my freshman year. It's just like, it's so.
Freshman year is not great. It's like.
It's just so like.
I should have redshirted. I wish I could have saved me another year. I, that was the.
You what?
that was a wash. I should have just redshirted my freshman year because I ended up getting like a knee injury too during track.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I didn't really need to redshirt because there was nothing really that was like really impacting me. And like I said, I was still getting better as the season went on. So like nothing was really wrong with me, but I do feel, and I feel like I didn't really have that hard of a transition into the training and stuff. Like, I feel like I was fine, but I feel like a lot of freshmen would benefit from redshirting. And that's why a lot of freshmen do. Cause the, like the transition period and just like getting used to that atmosphere is just like so different.
I mean, you're
not that being a redshirt like gives you an excuse to like go out every weekend, but
I think everyone needs that party year in college. They just need to like get that out of their system. And then
no, but I just feel like, I don't know, if you're, when you're first introduced to it, it's like a lot more exciting than, you know, by senior year, you're like, all right.
Yeah, I know. I remember like going out and I would like rally for the long run the next day and I'd be like so confused at the senior girls for not going out. I'm like, oh my God, like I went out last night. Like, it was so much fun. Like, why were you guys not out last night? And they're like, oh my God, you don't even know. And I got to my senior year and I was like, I 100% understand. Actually, that's my sophomore year. I understand.
Yeah. I remember I just had like a really rough night out my freshman year once, and then I came back the next day and like did a long run, and it was one of the best long runs of my life.
That is the most confusing thing. I will never really understand that. I think because you like disassociate for the first half, you're still coming out of the fog.
Maybe, but I did it at like 6 p.m. so I just felt really good. I remember
carbs.
Like, oh, I don't know. I genuinely don't know, but. Anyways, that phase didn't last long at all anyway. So
no, it's definitely not sustainable.
It was definitely not tolerated. So
definitely not accepted. So
we went to Steamboat Springs 1 year my sophomore year, and and Ellie was there. We had to run on the treadmill because the footing was like so bad. It was so snowy there. And we ran on the treadmill every day. I remember doing like a 3 to 4 mile tempo run on the treadmill. And like, I've had sensitive Achilles in the past, and my Achilles just like was on thin ice, which is a pun intended, because then one of the days, for some reason, I don't know what was wrong with me in my head, but I decided, I've definitely told this, I think, on the podcast or on my YouTube channel. And I literally laced up my Nike Victory spikes, went out on the icy street, and decided to run 8 400s at like 70 second pace on ice in my spikes.
I remember watching that.
And mom and dad, for some reason, were like, yeah, great.
We'll support it.
And I
fitness.
Think,
no days
I don't know
off.
Why no one stopped me. Like, why was no one like, what are you doing?
Anything for the fitness, Emma, obviously.
Anything for the fitness. I was so dedicated. And then the next day I woke up and I was like, uh-oh. Because
I injured again.
I was injured. And I knew it immediately because
I was injured.
I had Achilles problems in the past in high school. And I knew it immediately. And I was like, oh my goodness, what did I do? I tried to get fitter and then I was out for like 6 weeks. Anyway, so that was, I don't even remember if I told my coach the truth. I don't remember what I did, that I ran in spikes on ice, which don't do it if you're listening to this podcast, because you might hurt your Achilles. But I remember, so I had to like cross train for, I don't know, 6 weeks after that, which is just
always,
it's 6 weeks alone in the rec and like just lonely, you know? And there was one night, and I would always wait till last minute. I'm a procrastinator. And there was
both procrastinate a lot of workouts.
Yeah, no, and I wanted to talk about that too. But there was one day where I had to go swim or aqua jog or something. And I was sitting with my roommate in our house, and I was in my swimsuit, I remember, and I was like just started like flinging my body, like kind of on the couch, just kind of up and down.
Your body?
Like, yeah, just like kind of like throwing a fake tantrum. It was fake, it was sarcastic or whatever. And I was like, I don't want to go. And then as I said it and I like leapt down onto the couch, I just heard a giant snap. And I was like, and my roommate looks at me. She's like, did you just break that couch? And I was like, yeah.
I thought you were going to say you broke a bone.
No, I broke a couch.
I remember you getting a fracture.
Yeah, no, I had no fractures. I just broke the couch.
From a couch tantrum.
Yeah, so I broke a couch from throwing a tantrum to go cross training. I still went cross training, I'm pretty sure, after that.
Oh, of course.
So, dedicated. Also, talking about dedication is like, I only remember missing one long run.
I'm going into dedication.
Also, just talking about how freaking dedicated I was. I only missed one long run once in college, like out of my whole entire college career because I was like at running camp and I couldn't do it. And it stressed me out so much. But also talking about dedication is that there would be times in the summer or like over breaks where we would literally procrastinate our runs until I would leave the house to go drive to 24 Hour Fitness at 11 p.m.
Me and you always said at 11 p.m.
11 p.m. 6 mile run.
That's like, why? Like, because we were just running so much. It was like the thought of like having, we needed like extra hours. And
I think I just wanted extra hours in the day, but I don't think anyone like on my team would ever do that.
No.
I feel like I would tell my teammates that, they're like, why don't you just like not run that day? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I still want to get it in, you know, like I was just being lazy and procrastinating it.
I mean, anything to get the run in. I remember one time I did a long run with no insoles in my shoes because I was too afraid to tell the girl that was driving that I forgot them because she was scary. And so I just ran the whole run and then got injured for 3 weeks.
See, so,
don't do 12 milers with no insoles.
Dedication. Or when I scarfed down 6 Reese's eggs before I went running and I had the worst run of my life, but I refused to tell anyone that the reason why I was feeling so ill was because I ate 6 Reese's eggs immediately before coming to practice.
Just keep it vague. Always keep it vague.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, I must have eaten something.
My stomach really hurts.
Oh, maybe it's the giant like pound of Reese's eggs that you just ate. Reese's
egg size in my head that I ate. Couldn't be that.
What else? I had some pretty hard workouts in college too, like some pretty traumatic ones.
Oh, my most traumatic workouts for college for sure.
There was one that Nikki and I did and my other friend Ashley, and we got kicked off the track actually because we were doing so poorly. I think I might've talked about this in my episode with Nikki. I don't remember. I always just repeat stories. I'm running out of stories. But we had this like 800 workout and we were like our time to hit was like 2:33 or something.
Yeah.
And it was like a cut down workout. And for the life of us, we could not hit 2:33. Like we started off, it was like 2:37. And my coach was like, okay, start that over. Like that's not acceptable. You're not starting at 2:37.
You can't just start over though. Like that's a still
hard. I know. She's like, okay, rec leg, jog a lap, and we're starting over.
My legs are just gonna go away after this lap.
Yeah. So then we jog the lap or whatever.
I'm good.
And so this is my freshman year. Like everything was so lighthearted my freshman year. Honestly, I was just like kind of in awe that I was running at Oregon, and I was like, what's going on? And then we did the next one, and again, it was like 2:35. And my coach was
like, gotta start over.
Yeah, I know. And she's like, okay, that's fine. Like, whatever, we'll just start here, I guess. And like, obviously like, kind of visibly like annoyed and like upset with us a little bit. And we're like, okay. And then we like do the next one.
And the coach is getting annoyed and you're like, I physically can't go any harder.
But it was like, we weren't even that tired. I don't know what it was. It was like just down the last stretch. Like we could not move the legs. And then we did our third one, I remember. And it was supposed to be like 2:33. Again, just hit the 2:33 one time. Again, 2:35. And this time down the last straight off the Bowerman curve. It was me and Nikki and I side by side, blades out, like arms are just when we are taking life to hit that 2:33 again. It was like 2:35 and my coach was like, get off the track. And so we got literally, that was the only time I've ever gotten kicked off the track. And I mean, I was just kind of laughing because it was just like stupid, and I was like, okay, like I mean, it wasn't gonna happen on the day. But I remember Nikki and I were laughing, and then Ashley I think was like genuinely concerned about her fitness level, but then like the next weekend she ran 4:16, so yeah, she was fine.
Just one of those, sometimes that just happens. You just like can't hit that specific number.
Yeah. And then I remember one other time, my freshman year, this is all my freshman year, I did a 400 workout and it was 8 400s and it was at mile pace. So I was going like, started out 72s, and I just remember it being so excruciating. And
one of those days where it just hurts from the first repeat.
Yeah. And it was just like, it was my first kind of experience like going that fast and doing that. Little did I know it would only get harder as the years went on at school, like the times would get faster or whatever. But yeah, it was just like such a shock to the system my freshman year. And after like the last one, I don't know if I like got down on the ground or like kind of fell to the ground or something, like so dramatic, which is unlike me. And the men's coach just looks at me and says, get up. I never did it again. And it's so dramatic because I was literally running 72s, which is like, I mean, it's good, but yeah, just like looking at that workout my senior year, I'm like, what was I doing? Like
on the ground, like
on the ground.
But yak.
Yeah, literally about to get up. And I got up immediately. I was like, So,
oh my God. Yeah.
Those are some of the funny workouts that I remember from college.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
The only one that's really sticking out to me right now is a tempo workout. Because I had to do a lot of tempo stuff, so I was doing longer distance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my thing was, like, a stomach problem. Like, I would, like, start feeling like I had to go to the bathroom immediately. But I'd only be about a mile into my 7-mile run, like, tempo run. So and I remember one time, it was, like, a 3x5. It was, like, a 3x5-mile tempo break and another 3x5-mile tempo. My tempo tummy was already kicking in at half mile in. And it was like, Emma, it was like on the verge. Like, it was on the brink where I was just going to explode. Like, I was like, I'm not okay. And I made it through the entire thing. But I was on that, I booked it. We were supposed to do a lap around the track after cool down. I was like, absolutely not. I booked it to the bathroom and I was on that toilet for an hour. And I came out and it was pitch black. And I did my cool down by myself in the dark. My coach was still waiting for me. She's like, are you okay? I was like, absolutely not. But I got the workout in, so.
That's so funny though, because I feel like I didn't really get that bad of tempo tummy when I was in high school. Again, I feel like I just didn't, maybe the tempos weren't long enough or whatever, but yeah, my freshman year at Vanderbilt, oh,
not good.
We would do like 5-mile tempo runs, and that was just so, like,
yeah, I know, we only did like what, 3 miles, and like,
yeah, we did like 3 miles, so I feel like, I don't know, the stomach wasn't really that, like, traumatized, but there were some bad. I remember my 18th birthday at Vanderbilt, it was like, it would just wreak havoc on my stomach.
I mean, once it's already like that, you're a goner. Like, once it starts churning, you're like, I'm screwed.
I'm out for hours. I can't.
Oh, I couldn't even eat for like 4 hours after that. I was like, I am not okay. And I think the problem with this, like, it's never happened my senior year, because we would do our workouts in the morning, so I'd be like on an emptier stomach. But we'd be doing these at like 4:30. I had like 2 meals in me, like eating whatever, fried steak at the dining hall. I don't know. And like, I wonder why I had these stomach problems.
But like, okay, yes, that is so true. And I feel like that's why it didn't happen to me when I went to Oregon. I don't think it ever happened, really, because we worked out in the morning at like 9 a.m. No, so you had time to have full breakfast.
I got breakfast,
go back to the bathroom and everything. So I was like, I nailed down the nutrition aspect where I never had to deal with that. But at Vanderbilt, it was like workout at 6 in the morning. Like, you're scarfing down a bar. You're like still processing last night's food.
That bar at 6 a.m. hits wrong.
And that was like when I first started getting introduced to coffee too. So it was just like the combination of everything.
I forgot about that. The slow coffee addiction. Like, yeah, I started, the coffee really addiction small.
Starts. And I think just that combined with everything else just like wreaked havoc on my Vanderbilt stomach. But
my Vandy stomach
was not okay.
But yeah, that tempo runs and when your stomach hurts, those two just do not mix at all.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm trying to think of, like, anything else in college. I mean, everyone goes out after NCAAs. There's, like, giant NCAA parties. And did you go to one when you were at NCAAs?
I don't know. Not after my track meet. But I remember we went to one 2 years post-graduation, and it was in Texas. Oh, and we were on the dance floor. We didn't race.
Again,
that was the only actual
going up to places that we are not really invited to. Like, why are we there? Absolutely. Actually, okay, just kidding. We were definitely invited, but it was just a weird vibe. But
we were graduated.
Because we were graduated already.
I was still running, but like they didn't know who I was, obviously.
No, but like the most exciting time of the year at Oregon was like these post NCAA parties, but it was disturbing. I'm not going to lie. These things were disturbing because, again, you have people
unsettling.
That don't go out ever, and maybe they have a couple too many drinks.
That's the thing. It's 0 to 100.
0 to 100, and people go insane. And you just see these characters, like random people from different schools just coming up to like this house or whatever, and it's just like the things that you will see at those parties is just
you can't unsee.
Like weird pairings, weirdest conversations. I remember I had a conversation with like some guy that won some race at track nationals for like literally an hour. I'm like, what did I talk about like to this guy for an hour? Like, how was I talking to him for an hour? I don't really get it. It kind of seems like you're in a simulation in the moment. A lot of weird couples form out of those parties. And then
everyone you get what, 2 nights a year? Three nights?
Yeah, 2 nights.
Maybe one during the summer?
Some relationships blossom though from the NCAA parties a little bit.
Oh, some future marriages.
Maybe.
You never know.
You never know what can
happen. I'm sure one marriage has happened from an NCAA party.
I think so. I mean, you get close to people very fast because it's just such a tight knit environment.
Right. It's such a close knit. Everyone's really on the same page, like same interests, same life path.
I will say it's really fun. I remember we hosted like a pregame one of my years that we were there. And so there was a ton of people at our house. Oof. And I remember I was kicking everyone out because we were going to someone else's house. And it was like so gross on our floor that when I was like, all right, because of course I have a loud voice. So everyone's like, hey, I kick everyone out. I was like, okay. So I'm like, okay, everyone out. And then as I like am walking into the room, I just eat it. And I slip on our floor and everyone is just pointing and laughing. Like everyone is just standing over me, like pointing and laughing. I've never been so mortified.
And that's how I got injured.
Well, it was the end of the season, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But that's just like
bring all the injuries.
I mean, it's just like so funny the things that happen after the season's over. But college is just such a unique time. And it's very
honestly,
special.
I do miss it because it's like it's just so hard to you're just not around people that are your age like that. Mm-hmm. And you're not like I kind of miss running, like just like having those like I mean the satisfaction, that's another thing I will never like I mean maybe I'll have it again if I like I don't know.
I know it's hard it's hard to find the satisfaction of like doing like super well in a race or like qualifying to this or like winning NCAAs. I'm like, where am I gonna find that satisfaction again in my life?
I mean, even finishing those workouts, I would be like, that
yes.
It's 8 a.m. I just accomplished a 12 miler like with an 8 mile tempo at whatever five whatever pace. I'm like, who was doing? I just felt like I was such a superhero because I kind of like we kind of were. I was like, that's insane.
I know some of the things that I like did, I feel like I was superhuman almost, because now I'm like looking back, I'm like, how did I do that for literally so many years on end? And I'm like trying to I feel like if I do get back into it, though, it's going to be rewarding. Like, we could get back into it if we wanted. But
it's I don't know what, like, it's just so, like, I think about it, but I'm just like, there's so much sacrifice with it.
I know, like, there is a lot of sacrifice. And that's a thing that I feel like people, you just have to come to realize, like,
yeah,
it's really hard to mimic that environment. And I feel like even pro teams have a hard time doing it. I mean, now it's better because I feel like more teams are popping up. But for a while, it's like, these pro teams are trying to mimic the environment of what college is like. But again, it's so hard because everyone's working.
Kind of sad now. I kind of miss it. Being like 19 and just being like, it really, I mean, when I was running on the pro team, like it was not the same. Like,
yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just not the same. It's not.
It's so individual. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, everyone's working. Everyone has what, like, I mean, even as an adult now, I'm realizing like how much stuff you have to do. Like, you just have so many more responsibilities. I don't have kids yet. Like, but when you have like your own apartment or like whatever, and like you just have so many more things to manage.
I know. Compared to
money is a big issue. Like there's just so many things.
Yeah. There's just like a lot of little things you have to worry about instead of like college where it was just, or even high school, it was just like a one track mind. Like high school, it was like, okay, you graduate and you get into college, you get recruited for running and you go to college. Then you go to college and you win to NCAA, you win NCAAs, you qualify to NCAAs, you run this time and you qualify here. And like, everything is so structured. And like, I feel like it was so just structured. Meant to be so satisfying. Like there's just so many things that you can do. And I feel like the goals were just basically kind of handed to you, at least for me.
That's the expectation. The goals were just handed to you. It's like, this is what you should be going towards or working towards.
So I feel like it was just really satisfying when you accomplished that, or like when I don't know, when your team accomplishes something like that.
I just was never scattered back then. Like, I feel like I was, like, now it's kind of, like, easier to just kind of be all over the place. Whereas then, like you said, it's, like, a one-track mind. You're just, like, this is my goal, and that's it.
Yeah. But then high school was, like, I feel like high school was a good mix of everything. But then again, I feel like I just had more energy, and I also was, like...
I will never understand high school.
No responsibility. We didn't have responsibilities in high school. That was a thing. I mean, like, I mean, it was school and running and social life, I guess. But we didn't have, like, to worry about... paying rent or anything. It's like, I guess you just don't have the little extra stressors.
True. I feel like now too, it's just like the future is so up in the air, so that's like the biggest stressor, because there's just so many different ways you can go.
Yeah, it's like the world is kind of your oyster,
but then you like feel stuck at the same time.
Yeah, it's a weird vibe, but we're navigating it well. I mean, we're doing well.
That's the thing, it's like just day by day. Like, I feel like in high school I was more okay with taking things slower, almost. Like, I was just never really thinking about like 2 years from now. I was kind of just like, every day was, I did stuff, like little things every day, and it like all stacked up. Whereas now I'm like really stressed about like being almost 27 and like not having like a house soon. Like, I just feel like I'm more like, I need to get things done fast, where it's like, why? I'm still in my 20s.
I think that's why time flies so much faster when you're older, because you just stress out about the future more compared to like college. I mean, it's only, I wasn't even there for 4 years.
I know.
And I feel like each season was so long.
Cross country season
so long, because you started in June and you ended in November, and I just felt like that was so long. And then now, just being like a working individual, I'm like, time has flown by.
It's December,
and I'm like when I was in college, I just felt like it just took forever. Like, I was like, I can't wait for track season. Like,
I know,
all year, and I just felt like
indoor track. I want to get to outdoor track.
No indoor. I want outdoor.
It's months long. Like, months now. I can't believe. I don't even know what I did in November.
I know. So I'm like, but how do I fix that? What do I do?
I'm like, I have another birthday coming up. What? No.
27.
I was supposed to stop aging at 25. I don't know what is happening.
Okay. Well, do you have any like? I mean, we don't have to drag this on for that much longer. Do you have any like post-grad, I guess, memories from your running career at all?
My running career? I just the difference between college and professional running.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of already covered it with like, you just kind of lack the team. It's like, you still have a team though.
Yeah.
But something about, I don't know, the camaraderie was like so much stronger in college. Not that it was, like, necessarily bad, though. Like, I kind of enjoyed, like, doing my own thing and, like, being able to train for longer distances, which you can't really do in college. Like, there's a lot more opportunity in that, like, going, like, longer distance goals. So, I liked that part of it.
It's just harder because I feel like money is involved. So, it's, like, once the money gets involved, I feel like that's almost with everything. It was, like, if it's not just a hobby or passion anymore, like, once it starts becoming a career, that's when it starts becoming a little bit more stressful.
I didn't really like that.
Yeah. Even in college, like with the scholarship stuff, I feel like, I mean, it was more disclosed. Like, I feel like people didn't really talk about it that much, I guess. I mean, some people made it very clear on the team that they were on a lot of money and you knew it, but I feel like it wasn't talked about that much. I feel like it's just more kind of open maybe after college. I don't know. Or just like, no one's kind of making money. So then it's just like, everyone's kind of trying to figure out their way.
I know. It's like, I'm trying to think of like how I would do things differently. Cause like now I'm in Boulder and I feel like I should have just moved here and like trained. I was telling you this the other day, like I should have just gotten a job and then like trained with people in Colorado. Like, I love training here. I think that was my problem. I was training in San Diego and Atlanta, and those are just not the best running spots at all. Like, here I'm like, I genuinely want to run more, cause I have trails, people to run with. Like, it just, I think the people, like, you have to find the right team.
Yeah.
The right environment. That's what's going to help you the most after college.
Yeah, for sure. Having other people that kind of have like a similar like track mind to you. I mean, it's the same in college. Like, you
in college too. Yeah.
Yeah. You surround yourself with people that have the same goals as you. So you kind of have to figure that out after college, but it's just harder because everyone's scattered everywhere.
Everywhere. And there's not, it's just not like college at all.
Yeah. It's just like different. I also like, cause I started working in the track world, like the professional track world,
right
out of college. And that was insane. Like, just seeing the difference of like, when you're in college, I mean, we had rules, like we would go on trips. We weren't allowed in the guys' rooms and guys weren't allowed in the girls' rooms. We like had to wear a certain uniform and everything. And like, I mean, when I went to like professional, like when I started working on the other side of it, I was like, a lot of meets were really disorganized, which is what I came to realize. Because I feel like in college, again, you have everything given to you. Like the meets are, you have a bus that's chartered to whatever your school, and then you get per diem and everything's lined up. You have an itinerary, whatever, you know exactly what to wear. And then professional, like when I would travel, these like out of country meets, like everything was just kind of like all over the place and like really disorganized. And I was like people wouldn't make their flight, and then it would just be kind of a mess. Like I remember waiting in an airport for like 2 hours with all of these professional athletes because the bus didn't show up in some random country, and you're like, oh my goodness. So I just like kind of realized that. I also realized that a lot of like the staff behind the scenes loves to party.
Everyone's way more adult, and like it's almost like it's more chill even though you're professional. So it doesn't really make sense, but it's like, I guess there's just more flexibility.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
flexible outside of the sport.
Yeah. There's more flexibility and I mean, I guess everyone's just like adults. I don't know. Like it would just be odd. Like, I don't know. I'd be going just out
older.
With like random,
I don't know.
I'd be going out with random agents, and then people would just be like out until the break of dawn. And then they would like go to the track meet the next day. And I guess when I was like running, like you just have no idea what like people are doing behind the scenes.
A lot more boundaries are crossed almost. It's just like you're more friends with the coaches. They're like closer in age now, it seems like, or like life trajectory.
Well, I just remember going on to when I was at Oregon, I like went to pre-classic, and I went up in this like little corral thing. And it was like up above some part of Hayward, and it was like all the Nike executives, like it was all these like really high level people. And I like got in because of the job or whatever. Yeah. So I like walk up there and I'm like, do not belong here. I was like carrying a vlog camera.
Never.
It was like,
fake it till you make it.
What?
Fake it till you make it.
No, I mean, it was obvious that I didn't belong there. Like it was all old men and then me walking up with my vlog camera, and they're like, who is this? And it was like, and it was just funny. I don't know. It was just like, again, I was so new to it. And I was like, I used to like be running at this school, and then now I'm sitting here with all these like random, like high level executives of USATF and things.
Actually a good point. I feel like it's a lot of like shock. Like I remember I was like, am I really running professionally? Like I was kind of just like, I mean, cause I never even expected to be doing that, like running or doing anything after college. So I was just kind of like confused the entire time.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I even like, I think you like go through, because you're going through so much in your 20s anyways. So it's like, I think I'm just constantly questioning if I should still be running. So I was like, I think that's just your 20s. You're always questioning what you're doing. So that was like me a lot of the time. I was like, is this the right path? Is this not the right path? Like, I think I'm having fun. Whereas in college and high school, once again, I wasn't really thinking about the future.
Well, because it's given to you, you know what you have to do.
I know. And now it's just like, I don't know. I guess I could run again. Am I going
to run again?
I mean, if I run again, it's gonna be like for the marathon. I'm not gonna like go back to like professional track or anything like that, bro.
Okay, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, now that I'm in Boulder, it's like I'm kind of like picking it up again, but I'm doing it, like I said, for mental health. It actually makes me feel happier, which is a little, I never experienced that in college. It was just, we were always forced.
Yeah, well, that's the shift, is that once you realize that it actually, like, you enjoy doing it for your own personal benefit instead of like it being a chore, like maybe I won't go run at 11 p.m. now, you know?
I'm definitely not going to go to 24-hour fitness at 11:36, but hey, I know now it's like, if I want to, I love the, like not having the pressure now, because it makes it so much more enjoyable in all my runs. I'm just like,
wow. Yeah, it's just finding the meaning of it again. I feel like you just kind of have to redefine that for yourself after school. And I mean, in reality, like a lot of people aren't going to be professional runners. It's very hard to like get a contract. It really is. It's like, you can't, I mean, I was a good runner, and there was no way I could afford to be a professional runner after college. So it's like, you have to come to that reality at some point and realize that it's not going to happen. And that's when you just have to kind of start redefining what running means to you. And it's hard. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Obviously, I mean, anyone that follows me in any of my platforms have seen all of like what I've gone through and everything, but
I mean, it's a huge identity crisis when you've done it. That was your entire childhood.
Yeah. So, you know, Ellie and I are still figuring it out and everything. But again, I feel like when I look back on my running career and what it's been so far, like I genuinely love it. Like I don't think I would really change anything. I just feel like I have so many good memories, and I don't know. That's why I'm like kind of grieving.
You make me feel so happy and nostalgic right now. Like I honestly, I don't think I would either, because it's just so like dramatic, but in a good way. And like so many like feelings of satisfaction and the pain. Like I just look back and I'm like, I did that. Like I use running in all aspects of my life now. Like I will pull, like if I have a hard work thing or like a business problem, I'm like, you know what, Ellie, you ran 12 miles at 5:40 pace. Like you're good. So yeah. It definitely comes. It's definitely paid off.
Yeah.
In personal life. So.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, yeah, it's definitely been worth it. Everything I'd done and like sacrificing basically my whole life for running was definitely worth it because it'll just be ingrained.
It was a huge sacrifice.
Yeah. I mean, it'll just be ingrained forever though, I think. And that's why I don't think I'll ever like give up on it really.
Yeah.
I don't think I can. I like genuinely don't.
Dude, I've tried not running and it doesn't work. Like, I think we kind of have an addiction to it. Like,
I have an addiction to running. It's like
our bodies need it. Like, I feel better when I'm doing more miles. I'm like, this isn't normal. Like,
for normal people that don't run.
Well, people just didn't grow up with that, like, their body being so used to it. Like, I feel like it's one of those things I just have to do. It's like drinking water. I have to, like, go for a run if I want to feel mentally, like, okay.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Alert.
Yeah, my goal right now is just to get to a point where I like feel good running again and then see what happens from there. But
yeah, I feel like the future is, you have so many years left of your 20s. I mean, people are what, running up until their upper 30s, like fast?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried at all. I'm just, no. I mean, I'm trying to fix the internal stuff right now. And in turn, that will fix the...
There's a lot of stuff.
It'll just fix a lot of things. So I think... I don't know. I feel like the future is bright, and though I do mourn and grieve about like all the good memories I had in my competitive like track running career and everything, I don't know. It's just been so fun, and I'm kind of excited for the future because it's just like I don't know what it's gonna be.
You really just don't know what you're gonna get.
Yeah,
you can predict it and plan, but usually I swear every single year in my 20s has been completely different.
Back in San Diego, where am I gonna be next year?
Like, where am I going to be living in 2 months? Where do I pick for 2022? I don't know. So stay tuned.
Anyway, okay. Well, we've drone on for...
I really
wonder if this was an interesting episode or if it was only interesting to me because, again, once again, I am recollecting my own memories that happened. And it's like, it's hard because I don't want to give too much detail. But then I also want to give enough detail, like, context.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can't tell
it's
if
like,
it was
people
good.
Like this...
I don't know. I thought it would just be fun though to talk about it.
I mean, it's fun. I just like, you just never know. People are actually gonna enjoy it.
What was like the high school episode?
Some people were like, this was trash.
Some people were like, this is trash. And other people were like, I loved that episode. So maybe it'll be the same with this one.
Right. You never know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks again.
Shout out to the fans out there who actually enjoyed this.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. If you listen all the way through this, like, props to you because we took so many tangents.
So many tangents, so many different roads.
Do you want to shout out anything?
No. If you guys need graphic design assistance, reach out to me.
That's what Kelly's whatever she wants to be linked down below if you need graphic design help. She is a great graphic designer. She designed my entire ebook last year, my recipe ebook. So
yeah, I do a lot of freelance graphic design. So if your dad is listening or if your parents need graphic design help for their business, please reach out.
All right, well, thank you guys for listening to this episode.
You tell our energy has dropped so much. We're like doing monotone voices.
It's just like, how do we end this? Like, was this a good I'm not confident in what this episode was.
I'm not confident either. I don't really know what we said. How are you talking for this long about nothing?
It's an hour and 15 minutes.
We just spew random like stuff about our past running workouts.
Yeah. For an hour and 15 minutes, and I'm sweaty.
I'm tired. I have to eat my cafe real bowl.
That's cold now. Okay, let's go. I'm all right. To close out the episode,
I'm losing steam. I feel like a psycho.
Can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
I don't know. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew with Ellie, my sister. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's always good talking to Ellie. It's always good. I feel like I loved my running career, like my competitive running career through college. I just feel like I had so many good memories and I just want to share them with the world because I genuinely just love looking back on them because they just bring up so much good joy and serotonin into my brain. So I hope you guys enjoyed kind of recollecting with Ellie and I and just chatting away for an hour. So thank you guys again for listening to today's episode and all the episodes of 2021. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes or submit listener questions and guest requests. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts too. We just hit 900 reviews, which is so cool. And I love reading your guys' reviews. That's another thing that kind of keeps me in touch with my followers. And it also helps me grow the podcast, and it's a free way to support. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you all next week. And don't forget to watch on YouTube if you literally want to see me next week. Peace out, fellas.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.